Good morning,
Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through. Oh,
God can and God will see us through. So have no fear. Oh, God can and God will. No matter the trial, He's God with Him. We win.
We win. Mama prayed for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch. Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me.
Good morning. Sorry for the technical difficulties. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your guest host, Missionary Terry Rogers, which I am filling in for Dr. Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministry. Announcements. Look for Amazing Grace School of Ministry started classes on April 4th, 2019, but there's still time to attend class. Please email Dr. Carey at amazgracmin@yahoo.com for details. For more information, please contact Dr. Maria Carey at 309-750-7584 on any other announcements that you have heard on today. Tune in for a new exciting series, Pulling Down Strongholds with Prayer. Let's read the topic scriptures. Ephesians 6 and 12, and this is from the King James Version. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:18, King James Version. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, and this is the King James Version. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have a real enemy who attacks us on a daily basis. This enemy, the devil, wants to stay hidden from us, but at the same time, he wants to distract, deceive, and divide us from seeking the Lord, from building healthy relationships, those relationships that are with our spouses, our children, family, brothers and sisters in Christ, even the pastor and other people. So the Bible states in Ephesians 6 and 12 that the battle we are fighting are not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against those rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So let's talk about what are principalities. Principalities are the fifth highest order of the ninefold celestial hierarchy. Supermundane powers often in conflict with God. Ephesians 6 and 12, those who are not flesh and blood are demons over which Satan has control. They are not mere fantasies. They are very real. We face a powerful army whose goal is to defeat Christ's church. We wrestle, Paleia, against Satan's angels, one-third cast out of heaven with him. The Greek word means fight or struggle. This wrestling means to sway in the wrong direction. We wrestle against four spiritual forces in the kingdom of darkness, and this is by Kenneth Weiss, a Greek scholar. Principalities, the first one, preeminent ones, leaders, powers, the authority of the lower atmosphere, rulers of darkness of this world, Satan and his demons, spiritual, wickedness in high places, operating in high positions. When we believe in Christ and join his church, that begins the conflict between you and the enemy. This enemy will try every device to turn us around from Christ and back to sin. We are assured of the victory. We must fight for it. We will struggle against Satan because he is constantly on attack. We have supernatural powers to defeat Satan. God provided in us his Holy Spirit, and his armor surrounds us. And that's going to come back later. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5, it states that we don't war fight in the flesh. So then that leaves a question. How do we fight? The only way to fight is with prayer. We have to learn how to fight in prayer. Some examples of those who fought in prayer in the Bible. Example 1, Joshua. Joshua would pray first before engaging in battle. Before Joshua attempted to conquer Jericho, he sought the Lord first. This is an example of what we need to do to seek the Lord early after we get up out of bed and ask God for directions and guidance. The Bible says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Directions are only given in prayer. Example 2, Esther. Going before the king, a decision that would take her life because she was not invited before the king. She gathered the people, and they prior spent 3 days fasting and praying. You got a big situation. You got things going on literally. Got problems in your home that are trying to keep chaos going. But God, hallelujah, praise God. God will solve our problems. Once we go in our prayer rooms, that place, that closet, that bathroom that we set aside to give honor and glory before the king, it may even be your car. He will fix it. We are not talking just about a king, but we're talking about the king, God, because he is the king of kings. The last example, Jesus. Jesus spent time in prayer before choosing his disciples. So these examples are just some in the Bible that tells us before we engage in battle, we need to pray. I want to take some time and talk about strongholds, problem situations, those things that seem to have us trapped and we can't get out of. What is a stronghold? Strongholds are an ancient part of history, of human history. As population of Earth multiplied, they formed communities called cities. People soon realized living in the open allowed you to become a victim to the fallen nature. Invading or marauding people will attack unsuspectingly or defenseless cities, taking goods and people. Putting walls around your settlement with a gate gave the inhabitants a source of protection and control. Since the walls needed to be breached before contact was made, the better the defense, the more secure the inhabitants. Soon, builders of walled cities realized walls also make good offense because it allows an army a secure base of operation. An army could rest and relax between offensive campaigns. The more secure the location, the more effective and powerful the force within. Spiritually speaking, Paul defines strongholds as an argument or high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. A stronghold is a point of operation from where Satan can keep the unbeliever captive or the believer incapacitated. Spiritual strongholds or fortresses, and this is the NASB version of the enemy, a stronghold can exist where a person has allowed sin to rule his or her life or simply has tolerated its existence. By repeatedly sinning in a given area, a person builds a stronghold, which then in turn may allow demons to enter. Our spiritual weapons are intended to pull down Satan's kingdom. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Waging war on your stronghold. In 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, we are instructed on how to war against strongholds, where Satan launches his attacks. What can we learn from this portion of Scripture about spiritual warfare? "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. The battle is not physical. Our weapons are not physical. Our weapons are able to pull down strongholds, arguments, and high things. The war is that which exalts against the knowledge of God, the Word. Victory is achieved by bringing every thought into captivity of obedience of Christ. We have two offensive weapons in this battle. One, the sword of the Lord, that's the Word of God, and two, prayer. These are two mighty weapons, which allows us to pull down strongholds. Our warfare is against that which is opposed to the knowledge of God. The revelation of God's word exposes these strongholds. For that reason, it is important to combine God's word, the sword, with prayer to overcome these points of satanic power. Satan knows if we are able to remove these strongholds, a mighty warrior will emerge. His goal is to prevent the victorious spiritual warrior from taking the field. Prayer in the spirit, always. Quick prayers. "Jesus, help me now. Protect me, Lord." Prayer is both a communication link with God and a powerful strategic weapon. In warfare, communication is extremely important. Prayer in the spirit is a special type of communication that goes beyond our understanding and connects us with the Holy Spirit for intercession and edification. It is activity that we do with our spirit in concert with the Holy Spirit. It may be done through spoken prayer or in our thoughts. No matter how skilled we may be in science of war, no matter how courageous we may be certain that without prayer, we shall be defeated. God alone can give the victory. And when the Christian soldier goes forth armed completely for the spiritual conflict, if he looks to God by prayer, he may be sure of a triumph. How can we be praying always? Ephesians 6, 17, and 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This is the New King James Version. How can we be praying always? Luke 18:1-8 tells us that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? How often are we to pray in the Spirit? At all times. What are the purpose of prayer in the spirit according to this passage? Intercession for all Christians, stand vigilant, keeping a lookout for enemies' attack. We have to watch and pray. What is supplication? Philippians 4 and 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The Greek word translated supplication in both Ephesians 6 and 18 and Philippians 4 and 6 is transliterated deces by strong concordance and means a petition or a special request of God. The simple definition of supplication is asking for humbly or earnestly as by praying. James 4, 6 and 8, Romans 8, 26 and 27. Prayer in the spirit is especially profitable when we don't know how to pray in a situation and or we're not sure what God's will is for the outcome. With that in mind, what does the Holy Spirit do when we pray in the spirit? One, he comes to our aid and helps us in our weaknesses. Two, he intercedes for us with God the Father. Three, perfects our prayer and corrects the manner and delivery to be acceptable to God. Four, increases effectiveness of prayer for others, making intercession. And five, aligns our prayer with God's will. What role does the Spirit play in a Christian's prayer? Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, but it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Since we don't always know how to pray as we should, if we have the Spirit in us and are led by the Spirit, Acts 2, 38, Romans 8, 14, Paul says the Spirit will make intercession for us. This means that although we do not always know exactly what we should be praying for, God knows our heart by living in us, John 17 and 23. Prayer is a powerful weapon for spiritual warfare. Scriptures with example of prayer, Luke 5 and 16. How frequently did Jesus pray? Jesus prayed often. If Jesus, who was perfect, felt it important to pray, how much more should we? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. How often are we to pray without ceasing? There are many reasons to pray. The following passages highlight several of them which relate to spiritual warfare situations. Matthew 18:18 through 20, bind evil, loose God's plan. Mark 14:38, strength in withstanding temptation. John 17:13 through 15, protection from evil. Jesus prayed that God would keep his followers from the evil one. Romans 1:9, intercession. Paul made mention of other Christians without ceasing in his prayers. Acts 4:21 through 33, the people prayed for protection and boldness in speaking the word. Also prayed for God to heal, perform signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. As a result, the place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness and power. Acts 12:1 through 11, deliverance. Power prayed fervently for Peter's release from prison. An angel came and freed him. Philippians 4:6 through 7, protection, deliverance from fear, anxiety. Taking our request before God in prayer yields the peace of God, which guards our heart and mind. James 5:13 through 16, help during suffering, healing from sickness, forgiveness of sin. So before fighting, pray first, seeking God and going before him, the one that knows the solutions and the one that can help us through any circumstances. Because Jeremiah 32:27 tells us, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And we're talking about the pulling of down of strongholds with prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I humbly come before your throne of grace. First and foremost, God, I ask you to forgive us of our sins. Sins, Lord God, that we knowingly and unknowingly committed. I thank you for who you are, because you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the everlasting Father. Lord, you are the true and living God, and there is none like you. Lord God, we honor you. We adore you. We magnify you. God, you are sovereign in all your ways. God, we say that you are holy. We say that you are majestic. God, you are all right with us. We praise you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. You are the God that heals. You are the God that forgives. You are the God that delivers. You are the God above all other gods. We praise you in advance that someone is going to be better through prayer on today, God. We praise you in advance that someone is going to be set free. And then, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I'm lifting Dr. Carey and the listeners that are on live on today before you. Lord, look on our pastors, on their families, the bishops, all the people of God. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that you have allowed Dr. Carey to share with me. I thank you for those that were not able to tune in. Let them be able to tune in on next week. And then, Lord God, I just thank you for this series, Pulling Down Strongholds with Prayer. God, we need your power to pray in the Spirit. Give us the Spirit to pray according to your will. And then, Lord God, we just praise you on forgiving us today. And then, God, we thank you for just, I just would like to thank all of you for tuning in to the Amazing Grace Ministries Radio Blog Talk with Dr. Maria Carey. And standing in for her on today is yours truly, Missionary Carey Rogers. If you have any questions, remarks, or comments, you can call or text Dr. Carey at 309-750-7584. Tune in on next week, and Dr. Carey will be live at the same time. Enjoy the remaining of your day and be blessed.